Great to have you with us on WPR News. Larry Mueller here. Hey, it's the first Tuesday of the month, and we usually talk sports on that first Tuesday of every month. And today, we're going to start by talking with you about the sport of swimming. And a couple of guests for you. One, by phone, Katie Drusch, is the general manager of Swimtastic Swim School in Waukesha. Katie, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Great to have you with us today. And also with me in the studio, Carl Milholland is the swim coach and owner of Swim Faster Madison. He's also the communications chair of Wisconsin Masters Swimming, an adult competitive swimming league. And Carl, great to have you with us. Thanks for joining in.
Great to be here and great to talk about swimming.
So we're going to talk about talk with Carl and Katie about learning to swim, maybe as an adult, plus how you can find everything from a pool to a swim club. And maybe you already participate in a swim club. What do you want to know about learning to swim? Do you have kids who maybe haven't taken up swimming yet and you want to get them involved in swimming? I hope you'll join in. Maybe give us your experiences so far, good or bad. The number to call is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Carl, just start with you. How'd you get into swimming?
I started swimming when I was about 6 years old, jumping off piers in Twin Lakes in Wisconsin. And I've just been swimming ever since. I was a high school stem swimmer, went to the state meet way back when. Things have changed a little bit since then. And then I went to college. I went to the University of Hawaii. I was on the swim team there for a couple of years. Stuck around Hawaii, did a lot of body surfing, a lot of water activities, and just kind of kept swimming up. Moved back to the mainland. I've been here for a while, had some kids and things, and then once the kids grew up, I started getting back in the pool myself. And so about 2010, I started doing master swimming, which is basically a couple workouts a week. It's a good swim.
Yeah.
And then started getting into competitions with masters. And those are from 18 years old up to 100 years old. And we literally have people who are in their hundreds swimming, master swimming.
That is absolutely amazing. Katie, what about you? What's your experience getting into swimming?
So when I was little, my mom got me lessons so that I'd learn how to doggy paddle, basically like save myself if I had to, and how to back float. But that was pretty much my experience with learning how to swim. One of the houses I lived in Arizona, we had a pool, and so you know, just playing around in the pool with my siblings and friends. But it wasn't until I was an adult, probably about four and a half years ago, I started working at Swimtastic Swim School. And I had no experience teaching swimming, but their training program is great there. And so within learning how to teach swim, I learned how to swim all the strokes myself as well. And then I also picked that up as a way of exercise for myself, which has been amazing. I love how low impact it is, and anybody can do it. It's great because you can modify it for all abilities. And, yeah, my kids have learned how to swim in the process as well, so it's been great.
Yeah, my own kids went through probably a similar kind of program here in Madison, just starting out pretty young, and now I have a daughter who is majoring in marine biology, was scuba diving in 70 feet of water off Grenada this past summer on a research project looking at the long-term project on coral reefs. So it's turned into probably going to be a lifelong thing for her. What are the biggest benefits in your mind? Katie, you mentioned a couple of things, you know, but Carl, in your mind, what's the best thing about swimming?
Well, like Katie said, it's low impact. It's, you can do it for a long time. And once you learn proper technique, it's really easy on the body, whereas you're getting a good cardiovascular workout or just a little bit of fitness exercise periodically a couple times a week. And then if you want to get more involved in it, you can push it, or you can just sort of grab a pull buoy or something and just splash around. Just water, it's just a great tonic for anybody.
Julie in Oshkosh has a question, a procedural question kind of for you guys, I think. Julie, what's on your mind?
Hey, so I used to swim all the time, and I had my favorite pair of goggles, which were Barracudas. I have relatively close-set eyes, and they're a little bit deep-set as well. And to use a lot of regular goggles, I end up having to have them so tight that I end up with, you know, the huge rings. And I can't stand it when my goggles leak. So I was wondering what you would recommend. Wow. Barracudas I like, but they have so many different kinds. I don't know which is, you know, which would be good for my head shape.
Yeah. Carl, idea, and Kate, we can get you in too, Katie. But
yeah, I think your best bet is to find a good swim store. There's Ellsmore, there's one in Brookfield, and there's one in Brown Deer at the Schrader Pool. There's one here in Madison called Simply Swimming, and they have all types of goggles, so they will help you to fit the right goggle, because I know for myself that there's only one particular pair that I can wear. When you try them on, what you want to do is before you strap them on, push it onto your eyes and see if you get a little bit of suction. That suction means it's fitting on your eyes and you're not going to get water in it. And then the strap should actually be a little loose. It shouldn't have to be super tight. It shouldn't hurt.
Yeah. And then Katie, you're agreeing with that?
Yeah, that's great advice.
So, Julie, so is there a swim store in the Oshkosh area?
Up in Appleton, maybe. Otherwise, if you could repeat the names of those, I can look them up.
Yeah, it's Ellsmore, E-L-M-O-R-E. If you call the Oshkosh Y, they can maybe help you out. Oshkosh Y has some nice swim programs there. Yeah. And then they're Simply Swimming here in Madison, and they're great. Both of these organizations outfit pretty much every high school team and every swim club in the area. So they've got it all.
All right, Julie, there you go. We'll get you back into swimming. You can join in too, by the way. Number to call, 800-642-1234, or you could email to talk@wpr.org. Carl, you're a swim coach and owner of Swim Faster Wisconsin, as we said. How do you help people become better swimmers?
So I book, I have a sign-up sheets online. I book 45 one-on-one lessons. And this is everything from I'm afraid to put my face in the water to I want to get faster on my next triathlon. And so my philosophy is every swimmer is unique. So I always kind of look at where they're at, what their skills are, and then kind of triage what's the next thing that we need to fix. And so we just kind of go along the line. And then usually I'll book like 6-8 lessons for a couple weeks. And then the hopes is that after that time, you're getting better. And so prepping maybe for a race, or just being able to say, I can now swim continuously up and down the pool.
And Katie, what about you?
Yeah, so sorry, I just lost my train of thought. What was the question?
How do you work with swimmers? How do you help people become better swimmers? And you work a lot with youth, very young even.
Yeah, we start with 4 months all the way up through adult. We get a variety of people in for different reasons, whether they're wanting their children to learn how to self-rescue, how to be safe in and around the water, or just looking how to prepare to be on like a swim team. So the their kids are wanting to learn the strokes to be on a competitive swim team. We have a recreational swim team, and so that's a lot of fun for them. And then with the adults, too, you know, like he was saying, they come in with all different stories and different backgrounds. Sometimes there was trauma. Sometimes there's, like, fear or anxiety around the water. So just meeting them where they're at and listening to them, learning what their goals are, and then creating a plan off of that with them, but taking it really step by step.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Jean in Merrill has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Jean.
Hi. I have a question and a comment about swimming as physical therapy. A year and a half ago, I had an intermedullary rod and nail inserted in my femur. And despite a year of regular physical therapy with everything, including laser treatments and dry needling with electrification, those attachments on the hip, although I was restored to full functionality, I can run, I can walk, I can ride my horse, I found that now all I need to do 6 minutes every night, even last night, in our lake in northern Wisconsin, 59 degrees, 6 minutes of swimming at the frog kick does more than a year and a half of physical therapy. So people of a certain age who might want to use swimming specifically for that, how do they go through knowing or find someone that can help them with just the right kind of stretches, exercises in the water so that they can not have to go through all that physical therapy?
Go ahead, Carl.
So a lot of pools have aqua exercise, and it's gotten really popular. I know at the some of the pools I work at in the summer, I'll see 100 people doing aqua exercise. So water gives you some resistance, but it's not the same as lifting weights. So I can see how that would be very helpful because you're using your muscles, but you're not, you're kind of gauging how much stress you want to put on them. Whether it's just bouncing around in the water, and a lot of pools will have a belt you can put around to float. I know at the high school, sometimes the runners come in, they put that belt on and they run in place in the water. And so it's just another way to kind of get a real good low resistance exercise, working your muscles without putting too much stress on them.
Yeah. Katie, anything to add there?
I know that some of those programs where you go in for that physical therapy, they actually will meet you in a pool too. I know there's different programs out there that offer it. So you can actually probably, I would say after doing one or two sessions, that would, based off of my knowledge, really get you kind of going so you could take over on your own with exercises that you could do in a pool.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, once a month we have physical therapists on our program to talk about dealing with those aches and pains and so forth. And one of them, Lori Tyne Brody, works almost exclusively in the pool with her, with a broad range of clients, and has had magnificent results. The UW Hospitals and Clinics has its own pool for that work. So, Jean, there, thank you so much for joining in. I appreciate your comments. And you can join in, too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us to talk@WPR.org. Questions, comments, experiences to share relating to swimming, we'd love to hear from you. And our guest, Katie Drusch, general manager of Swimtastic Swim School in Waukesha, and Carl Milholland, swim coach, owner of Swim Faster Madison, and communications chair of Wisconsin Masters Swimming and an adult competitive swimming league. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Talking swimming today with Katie Drusch, general manager of Swimtastic Swim School, and Carl Milholland, swim coach and owner of Swim Faster Madison. Questions, give a call at 800-642-1234 or email to talk@WPR.org. Katie wanted to talk with you for a minute about safety, from a safety standpoint, why is it important to know how to swim at a basic level?
Yeah, so I think a lot of times the misconception is it's more important for kids to learn how to swim than adults, but it's just as important for adults to learn how to swim as well, because accidents do happen and you never know when you might find yourself in the water, even if you weren't planning on it. So definitely knowing how to swim is super important at all ages. Even if you're a parent, you know, and you never learned how to swim, you can learn at any point, at any time. It's never too late to learn. As a grandparent, you can learn. So that not only can you get in the water and play with your kids in the water, but also if you did need to rescue them, that you, you know, would be able to if you needed to as well.
Yeah, and speaking of rescues, you've actually had some, you've saved a life, if I'm not mistaken, as well.
Yeah. So I have five children. They range in age from 17 all the way down to 4.5. And when my oldest was about 8 months old, we were at a hotel pool where there was not a lifeguard present. And there was other people swimming there. We were swimming there. And one of the kids noticed that there was a boy at the bottom of the pool and pointed it out, and I was the nearest person. So I dove down and brought him up to the surface. And when I stood up with him in my arms, I realized that he was lifeless. So I called out for them to call 911, got him to the side of the pool, and a hotel staff person came rushing in and started CPR. Thankfully, he was not under too long. And he came back to life. But I tell you, watching a body go from lifeless to back to life, I mean, it's like nothing you'd ever see. And it actually was a trauma for me. And within that trauma, it ignited my passion to teach, you know, for my kids to learn how to swim and to learn to be safe in the water, but also to get first aid and CPR certified as well. So after that happened, I actually went and got first aid and CPR certified so that if I had ever needed to help somebody that I would be able to. It ignited this passion in me, and I've learned so much about water safety and swimming and, you know, rescuing, and just got into the whole swim world as an instructor. I started off as an instructor to be able to get my kids actually into the lessons, because where I work at Swimtastic, one of the things that Michelle, the owner, has always offered is free swim lessons if you work one shift a week there. So I was like, hey, I got five kids. This is great. Like, you know, I can totally try this and see how good of a swim instructor I can be. Sure. You're going to train me. Great. So within a short amount of time, like, all of my kids, like, went through the program, and my youngest three are still swimming there. But by the time my little one, when I started, she was about 13 months. And by the time she was a little over two, she could come down the slide and swim across the pool. And she's been through different, like, self-rescue tests, as my other kids have as well. And just knowing that if she could save herself, that she could, even fully clothed. We're talking, she had an undershirt on, sweatshirt, sweatpants, socks, tennis shoes. She was able to get herself to the edge and pull herself out of the pool, and her clothes were heavy. You know, I think it's not only important for kids to learn how to rescue and, you know, and how to swim in the water with their swim clothes on, but it's important to practice with regular clothes on, even a jacket, because when you get in the water with those items on, it's going to feel completely different. Even with goggles, some kids will think they can't swim if they don't have goggles on. So it's really important to practice without the goggles on, because if you needed to, then you want the kids to know, okay, I don't need goggles to be able to swim.
Well, all good points.
Good story.
Yeah, a great story. Thank you for that story. Chris in Toma has a different kind of question, so let's go there. Hi, Chris.
Well, hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
It's a short story followed by a question at the end, but I grew up in Florida, and I grew up around the water, and by the time I was a teenager, I considered myself a fairly avid swimmer. Just put the goggles on, and there I go. I never had any problem swimming, And I moved to Wisconsin in 2007. And this past summer, some family came up from out of town. It was Mother's birthday. And so we all got together and rented a pontoon boat. And we went out on the Wisconsin River. And I hadn't been swimming in probably close to 15 or 20 years. So I was really looking forward to it. And so I'm telling everyone how excellent of a swimmer I am. And then when I jump in the water, I instantly realized that I was having a lot of trouble. I was able to resurface after I jumped off the boat. And I'm like, okay, this is a lot more work than I remember. And then so I kind of got my bearings. We were all having fun. And then I get caught by the current. And the current's pulling me downriver. And I can't swim against the current. I'm like, why can't I, you know, swim like I used to? And so, long story short, they had to pull up the anchor and come get me, and they ended up throwing me a life preserver, because by the time they got to me, I was exhausted, and then they had to pull me up onto the boat, and I'm laying there, and so talk about embarrassing. Here I am telling everyone how excellent of a swimmer I am, and so I'm wondering, like, when we get older, can our bodies change? I mean, I've always been overweight, but is it possible when you get older that it becomes harder to swim?
So, Carl, I'm going to go to you for
that. The shorter answer is you can swim until you can't swim anymore, which means you're prone.
You're dead.
You're underground. But, yeah, you're going to get older. I'm 71 years old. This summer I did 2 5K swims. One was in Lake Michigan against 4-foot waves. But you have to work up to it. So I like to teach that there are 3 factors in the human body in terms of swimming. One is biomechanical, and that's just how you use your body to move on top of and through the water. So that's the stroke mechanics and those kinds of things. The next one, though, is biochemical. That's how your body is processing the energy that's inside it and processing oxygen and eliminating carbon dioxide. That needs work. You can't just jump in the water and say, oh, I used to swim 15 years ago, because you need to build up to that. You need conditioning. And then the third factor is psychology. And this goes if you're in a swim meet to just finding yourself in a tricky situation where you're panicky. And the key to good swimming is relaxation. You watch a pool full of swimmers and you'll see that most of them are just moving in a relaxed method. And once you get past that, then you can just keep going.
Yeah. And Katie, what would you add to that?
Yeah, well, I would say that there's probably a few different things that could have been going on for you that day. Definitely the fact that you hadn't swam in a while, you know, I'm sure contributed. But also the temperature of the water. When you jumped in, you were probably not expecting it to be as cold as it was. And when that hits your body, it can, you know, induce a little bit of panic too. And then with the current, like you said, the current was stronger than you thought. You know, you never want to fight a current, because you will get very tired very quickly. And so what you want to do is just let it take you and swim to the side. You don't want to ever swim against a current, and get on your back. Definitely on your back is, like, I teach the kids, like we teach the kids at our school, your back is your safe zone. You could hang out on your back a very, very long time. So as you get tired, you know, roll over. Even if you're a good swimmer, everybody's going to reach that point where you're tired. Roll over on your back and rest. It helps you, too, to get your bearings of what's going on around you. Okay, where am I at? Where is the nearest place I can get to? You know, as you're floating down the stream, okay, do I see a place where I can grab onto a branch? Is there a person? But just getting on your back allows you the time to sit and think.
I just want to add one thing, and that those currents also go for big lakes, Lake Michigan, with waves. It's fun to jump around in the waves, but you can find yourself getting carried away. And what they teach you is don't fight that current. Go sideways. Go either left or right away from it and find calm water.
Yeah, yeah. Makes a lot of sense. Chris, there you go. Conditioning and a whole lot more here, as our two experts have talked about today. Appreciate it. But you should get back in a pool maybe and get yourself.
That's right. That's the only way you're going to fix that problem.
Yep. That's the only way to fix that problem and get yourself conditioned. And Carl mentioned he'd put on some weight. Kurt called, couldn't stay with us, and Kurt says, or asked, is it true that real skinny people have a harder time swimming than people who have more fat? And there is something to that, I believe.
I have a peer of mine, and he's skin and bones, and I'm not. And so we have this constant argument. I go, well, you're nice and streamlined. You can go really fast. And he goes, yeah, but you got that body weight that gives you buoyancy. So I don't think that, that there's any particular body type that's more conducive in terms of body weight. But the only other thing is I would say in colder water, if you're skinnier, you're probably going to notice that colder water than a guy like me who's got a permanent wetsuit.
Katie, a comment?
Totally agree.
Well, the human body is in water. It floats. Your human body floats because it's slightly less dense than water. And the upward force of buoyancy is greater than the downward force of gravity. So there you go. And so if you are a little heavier, you've got more air, let's say, in your body, and you're going to float a little easier than if you're really skinny.
I agree. One thing that I teach with a beginning adult who's maybe a little afraid of water is I'll get a weight. It's like a ring or something that sinks to the bottom. We go in about 4 feet of water. I put it down to the bottom, and I say, now go get that, right? Because they think if I stop swimming, I'm going to sink. And I watch them struggle to get down to the bottom of the pool. And I said, you see, the body wants to stay up on top of the water. Now we have to learn how you control that.
Is that a method you've used, Katie, or do you use something different?
Nope, that's not really something that we do. We do have the kids, reach under the water to bring up a weighted object, like a very light weighted object. We call them sinkers. We also have rings. As we get more to like the competitive, like to the recreational swim team side of it, you know, there's other items that we can put under the water that weigh a little bit more. But that's definitely something that you can, you know, think about doing as well. But for them, it's more like learning that breath control, how to hold your breath underwater, get down and come back up.
Yeah. Sherry at Oshkosh emailed us, and Sherry wanted to underscore one point of the caller from Merrill, who swims just 6 minutes daily for rehab. The 59-degree water is likely as therapeutic as the swimming. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I can't really say, but yeah.
It makes some sense, though, for sure.
Yeah, it makes sense, but I don't have any evidence of that. Katie?
Yeah, our pool is like a warm 91 degrees. My expertise is not in that either.
Anne in Madison emailed us. Anne had an amazing experience in the spring when she went on a swim trek trip to Turkey.
Yeah.
They swam 5K each day for a week in beautiful, clear, sparkling sea waters. They have trips around the world and a year round. This is Anne. Anne wishes more people knew about it as an option for travel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's on my bucket list. Swim Trek is one of the better companies that do that.
But that sounds like, obviously, you got to be somebody who's fit and capable to swim 5K a day.
But they'll gauge, they might group you in with other people who are going to be about the same speed and class as you.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. And Debbie emailed us. Debbie has a response for the man who called in saying he grew up in Florida and couldn't swim in Wisconsin. He grew up swimming in salt water, which is more buoyant.
Yeah, there you go.
Then there's definitely some truth to that. So all good comments. What about you? Question or comment? You can email us to talk@wpr.org, or we'd love to hear from you. You can call us at 800-642-1061. 1234, 800-642-1234. Give a call or shoot us a note. Katie, you mentioned you have classes even for 4-month-old, and here's one other email from somebody who said, what good is it to have a 4-month-old in the pool? I mean, they're not going to learn how to swim, are they? What? Talk about that a little bit, Katie.
Yeah, so, you know, the earlier you can get kids in the water, the better. The sooner they, with the exposure to the water, a lot of times they're going to have these natural reflexes as babies. So they're going to naturally hold their breath. And, you know, we have different exercises that we do with them throughout the class. It's all very fun. It's all just geared as, you know, getting them comfortable, getting them used to the water. It's a fun bonding time with mom or dad. Even grandparents will bring the babies or the toddlers, which is so fun. But they really do learn, you know, and with the different activities we do and the repetition of the structure of the class, they are starting to learn that breath control and to learn that back float. And, you know, just really gain those skills at a lot younger age because of that exposure. And then also a lot of times when kids are older, even like if you bring in a 1.5 to a 2-year-old, sometimes if they've never been in the water before, it's going to take them a while to get comfortable. Whereas if you started with that 4-month-old and you're really getting them in the water, getting them comfortable, they're just going to remain comfortable in the water and just really be enjoying it a lot faster. And they're swimming a lot sooner. I've seen already where we have 4-month-olds that come in, and then we've got like an 8-month-old that comes in, and that 4-month-old is going to back float a lot sooner than that 8-month-old just because of that practice.
Interesting. And of course, you got mom or dad involved in those, but I noticed on your website that you encourage parents not to be visible. I mean, with a little bit older kids than that, it's better that they not be sitting there next to the pool watching the child. Is that and the reasoning on that, Katie?
Yeah. So if you've got a child that has never, a lot of times when they're coming in at that 2-year-old mark, they've never been in a class by themselves. They've not started gymnastics yet, or they've not started dance or, you know, soccer, just those different things where they would do that on their own. So a lot of times this is their very first time leaving mom or dad. And even those kids that are in daycare or preschool, it's a different setting from being in a class like that. And so a lot of times, you know, what we'll say is, if, you know, see how they're doing. If they're having a hard time, we always welcome parents to come in and sit behind them, you know, so the child is on the stairs and they can sit just right at the very top of that stair, just behind them, so that they know that they're there. Some toddlers that works really well, and other toddlers, they are more upset by the mom or dad sitting there because now they're just focused on mom or dad. And then if they're on the other side of the glass sitting at the front, they, again, now we're just looking back at mom and dad instead of focusing on the swimming and what we're doing in the water. And so, you know, all kids are different. Some kids just come in like they've always been in swim class, and some kids come in and they take a few weeks to get comfortable.
You mentioned holding breath, and I read somewhere where the average person can hold their, could hold their breath from 3 to 5 minutes underwater. How do you do any, you obviously do some training on holding their breath, but I don't think I could hold my breath underwater for 5 minutes. I know that would take work. How does one train to do something like that? Carl, have you had any experience with that?
Yeah, I have. And I want to note right now that the Wisconsin Department of Health is having swimming pools post signs in their pool saying no breath holding, because there's something called shallow water blackout. And that's when kids have a contest on how long they can stay underwater. And there's a way to do it right, but it takes a professional to help you to go that. If you want to do like how far deep you can go or how long. You need to work with somebody who knows how to teach you that. The problem with breath holding contests, you'll hyperventilate where you're moving your air, and then while you're underwater, you're going to pass out. And so that's a big thing that the pools now are very vigilant about.
Well, that makes
like I say, ahead. If you want to stay underwater, find somebody who knows how to teach you that.
I think it's a process, is it not?
Yeah, it is a process.
Start low and work yourself up. And I don't know, Katie, have you taught any of that?
Yeah, so it is definitely a process that you want to take one step at a time. And, you know, we start off with doing cup pours with our babies and with our toddler classes and that sort of thing, because you want them to feel that water come down their face, and just pouring a very little bit at a time and then pouring a little bit more as you watch how they're handling it. And then with bobs, you know, so with our bobs, it's, you know, going underwater and coming back up, taking a breath, and then going back under. And you've got to do that in stages, because it takes time for them to learn that. And if they come up from being underwater, even if it's that very short time and they're sputtering on the water, okay, now we're backing it to the previous step because they weren't quite ready. And we don't want to have, and breath holding is very dangerous. Yes, it's not something I know that kids should ever be practicing or playing around with. I agree. Definitely always seek somebody that's skilled in that if you're needing to learn that for something.
Makes a lot of sense. Katie Drewsch, General Manager of Swimtastic Swim School in Waukesha. And Carl Milholland is swim coach and owner of Swim Faster Madison, also the communications chair of Wisconsin Master Swimming, our guest today. Questions or comments or maybe an experience to share? Hope you'll join in. The number to call, 800-642-1234, or you could email us. The email address is talk@WPR.org. Love to hear from you. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Coming up at noon today, we'll be hearing about birds and birding with our guest, Bill Volkert, back with us. So we're looking forward to that. And tomorrow, we'll cover all kinds of wildlife with Jamie Nack and David Drake, and we'll talk peregrine falcons as well with them. Right now, though, we're on to swimming with our guest, Katie Drewsch of Swimtastic Swim School, and Carl Milholland. Swimtastic, by the way, is based in Waukesha, and Carl Milholland, based in Madison, Monona, swim and coach and instructor of Swim Faster Madison. So it's great to have both of them with us. And again, you can join in 800-642-1234, email to talk@WPR.org. Here's a email question for you. What kinds of swimsuits do you recommend for people who are just starting out, or is there any reason to have any particular swimsuit when you're just starting out? And what about swim caps and goggles?
You definitely want goggles. Yeah. Just because you're in chlorinated water. Swim cap is somewhat optional. It just really keeps the hair in place. Most people do wear swim caps. And a swimsuit, you just want something that's tight-fitting. I mean, you could go from a Speedo or a jammer, or if you're a woman, just a good tight-fitting suit. Because what you don't want is that resistance that, say, like swim trunks that you'd wear to the beach. If you're just starting out, it doesn't really matter, as long as it's not a hindrance. But once you want to start doing laps, you want to get something that's tailored towards swimming in the water.
And Katie, what about you? You're often working with very young children, swim caps, goggles, suits.
Yeah, so definitely you do not want to size up on the swimsuit. I think sometimes parents think, they're going to outgrow it so quickly like they do their clothes. You definitely want the suit to fit nice and snug, and they do stretch, and over time they will stretch a bit more, even for adults as well. So you want it to be a good snug fitting swimsuit. And I would say, you know, brand-wise, it really doesn't matter. I mean, especially if you're just starting out, you know, whatever you can find that is, like, a good fit and a good, you know, discount, too. I know Amazon has a whole variety as well as, like, the stores. You can find them this time of year. They're probably clearancing them out, so from the summer. So now would be a good time to try out some different kinds. But I definitely don't recommend, like, a two-piece suit, especially for children, or even, like, a rash guard. A lot of times parents will send the kids in, like, they're swimming outside, right? So they got, like, a long-sleeve rash guard on for protection for them, and then we got the separate bottoms. And the suits still kind of, they'll rise up. So then while they're swimming, you know, they're fixing the suit. And so a one-piece is great. If you want to do a rash guard, just do a one-piece rash guard where there's not these, like, separate pieces going on. Even the sleeves tend to be too long. So then it's like we're rolling the sleeves up, and it hinders the swimming. So I definitely agree a good suit does matter, but you don't need to spend a lot of money on it. And then for swim caps, it does help to keep the hair out of the face. Also for girls or for anybody that has longer hair, just pulling the hair back, whether you put it in a swim cap or, you know, just pull it back somehow with like a ponytail or whatever, so it's not in the face. And goggles are crucial too for swimming. I agree, not only just because of the chlorine, but just because that really helps them with their comfort level of putting their face in the water.
I remember my one daughter had, we had a lot of trouble getting the right goggles for her head. I don't know, it was a smaller head or some thinner head or something, and it was a lot of trial and error to get the right pair of goggles. And she was little enough that it was, you had to almost try them. Buy one, try it. Oh, that one doesn't work. Let's try another one. So there was a lot of expensive trial and error going on. Katie, do you find that with parents?
Yeah, I mean, I love Carl's suggestion to go to some of our, the local places to try out the different ones and to get some help with fit. But with the kids, you know, generally there are certain brands and certain styles that will fit better than others. You know, you've got your A3s and your Tier. Those are probably about the most popular ones for us with kids. Even with adults, a lot of times the adults that have smaller faces and things of that nature can get away with using the kids' goggles just fine. And so definitely just trying on. And we have that, too, where the kids will try them on. But generally, it's not as hard, I don't feel like, for kids to find a good fit in a goggle as the adults are. But I recommend you don't go necessarily with, like, a really cheap brand of a goggle because you will probably struggle more with the fit and the suction versus, you know, just spending a couple more dollars to get, you know, like a Tier or an A3 or, you know, a Sporty, just those different ones that will fit better.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Margaret in Mosinee has a question. Margaret, hi. Margaret, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now.
I go to a swim pool in Mosinee that is shared by the community and the high school or middle school. And they want the swimming temperature water, the pool water, to be like around 81 degrees or something. And those of us who are elderly and do shallow water aerobics find it very, very chilly. I just wonder if you think that there's an optimum temperature for elderly people to get benefits from water aerobics.
Mm. That's a challenge with pools that are catering to all kinds of things. I know that for myself, I'm not going to do a workout if it's 88 degrees. That's like running in 100 degree weather. It just exhausts you. There's no real solution other than that maybe find a wetsuit or something like that that can maybe help keep that heat in a little bit.
Yeah, that would be one example. Katie, anything from your end?
I would look more for a pool in your area that, even if it's like a swim school, some of the swim schools offer open swim during the day, where people can come in and do some aerobics or swim some laps. And that's a really good idea, because you're going to find a warmer temperature in a pool like that. Whereas, like, you know, in the other type of pool, the kids are, you know, swimming, like, continuous. And so, you know, you don't want the water too warm. But, like, with us, there's no acclimating, right? Like, with us having that water at 91 degrees, there's no child that's going to come in and, okay, now we got to get used to the water before we can actually swim. So I would say find a place that's going to have the water temperature, you know, more so what you're looking for, which I would say is probably around 88 to 90 degrees.
Yeah. All right.
Some of the bigger health clubs have different pools. And so they might have a warm water pool. I know there's a couple here in the Madison area. So they'll have a lap pool for people who want to do that. But then if there's like aerobics or those things, it's a different pool, different temperature. Yeah. So look for that.
Yeah, that's another idea. Margaret, there you go. Thank you for calling. Brenda emailed us and asks, can you talk about skin and hair care pre and post swim in fresh or the chlorine?
Yeah, I would say definitely rinsing before you get in. There are products that you can get for your hair and your body that you can put on first before you get in the water, and then making sure you rinse off right away afterwards. You know, and they sell a whole different, I mean, there's so many different products you can get for that, but different people react differently to the water too. So some people are actually like allergic to the chlorine in the pool or other things like that. And so there's a lot of stuff out there that you can find to help with that as well.
Now, where would you go? Would you go to the swim place to learn about those things, or
you could go to the swim place, or you could get it online?
Yeah.
Amazon. Go ahead.
Right. Yeah, I would say definitely you could Google just to kind of like look up some different products and things of that to see, you know, what kind of meets your needs. And if you go on Amazon, you're going to be able to read reviews too. And people give different examples of, okay, I've had this problem with it and this product really helped me, which I think is also great.
We got two people in just the last minute here, Katie Ledecky and Michael Phelps. Why are they so good, or were they so good, or have been so good? I mean, they're both world champions.
Michael Phelps just had an incredible body for swimming. I mean, he could scratch his knees without bending over.
Yeah.
And he had a wingspan that was, when he stretched his arms out, it was wider than he was tall. And so he just had pretty much the perfect body, but he also had a heart. And he just really, when he was very young, he set a goal, and that was to swim in the Olympics. And he made that goal. Phelps is a great story. Katie Ledecky is a machine, right? You look at her physical attributes, and she doesn't look like your typical swimmer. But she's just got endurance like nobody's business. She really is. She's just got these attributes. There's only one other swimmer I can think of who was about 20 years before her, and damn, the name is escaping me. She just moves.
She just moves.
Yeah.
Katie and Carl, thank you both so much for spending time with us today. I really appreciate it. Katie Drewsch is General Manager of Swimtastic Swim School in Waukesha, and Carl Milholland, swim coach and owner of Swim Faster Madison. And they're both online, and I think we have a link on our page, but you can go online and take a look at what they've got. I like both of their pages very much. I'm Larry Mueller. Coming up, we'll take a look at birds and birding.